Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we'll be looking at verses 8 through 12. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. I titled this message, God Bless Your Little Pea-Picking Heart. And I say, God bless your little pea-picking heart for being here. Now, you know, it's funny that people today use all kind of excuses for not going to church. But if you apply those excuses to other areas of life, then you see how utterly ridiculous those excuses are. For example, what about reasons not to wash? I mean, every little boy would understand that, okay? Reasons not to wash. I was forced to as a child. I mean, that's why we don't go to church, so that's why we should wash. People who make soap are only after your money. I wash on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. And that's true for some. People who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than everyone else. How about this? There's so many different kinds of soap, I just can't decide which one to use. Now aren't those excuses they use for not going to church? I used to wash, but it got boring, and so I stopped. None of my friends wash. Some of your friends, I know that, okay? I can't spare the time. So you know, there are a lot of things that come up sometimes. We use excuses that when you say, wait a minute, let's just think that through a little bit. It really does take a whole lot of thinking. Then you see how ridiculous it actually is. And so with that thought in mind, I don't know why that thought's in mind, but it's in there. We want to look at our text. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Techmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Now, if you're the son of Dodo, you better know how to fight, okay? He's the son of Dodo, the Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David. And when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. And there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Now shall we pray? Father, I pray as we preach your word this morning that you would just make it clear and understandable. Lord, I can't do anything. It has to be thy Holy Spirit. And I just pray now that each person in this auditorium would allow the very Spirit of God to speak to their heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this message, God Bless Your Little Pea-Picking Heart. And a lot of you remember back in, some of you remember back in the late 1950s, early 1960s, there was a television program. It was the Tennessee Ernie Ford Show. It was number one in the country for a couple of years. Matter of fact, he quit when it was number one because he wanted to spend more time with his family. But he used to end each program by singing a hymn. It wasn't rock and roll. It's a regular hymn like you and I would sing. And when he finished that, he would say, God bless your little pea-picking heart. And that's the way it would go off every week. Well, our text speaks of a man whom God blessed in a pea patch. Now, I believe God can bless your little pea-picking heart if you will follow the wisdom that's seen in this passage. Now, the pea picker was a man of purpose. And he lists first, before we actually get to the pea picker, the other two mighty men. The first three men in the group that will be listed, there's 30 men that are the mighty men of David. But these three are the head of the class. They're the top men. They're the three great guys of the mighty men. They stand out. And they come to David at a time when David was in distress. They were men of purpose. Now, David was being hunted like a deer. King Saul was out to kill him. And just like a hunter has the advantage over the deer with weaponry, King Saul had the advantage over David of weapons and men. He had an entire army with him. But these mighty men came to David, not when he was in the palace, but when he was living in dens and caves of the earth. David remembers the people that stuck by him. They were men of purpose. Now, there were others that also come to David during that time. But the other group that come to David during the time is not usually a group that we really want gathered about ourselves. They're not the kind that when you're in exile that you want to be around them. You'll notice what 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 2 describes about these people while David is in exile. It says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. Now think about that. People that are in distress. People that are in debt. I mean, they're in a position they can't pay, and they don't want to go into slavery, and so they've come to him. They can't repay. And then there are those people that are discontented. People that are bitter in soul. So this is David's support group, okay? While he's in exile, while he's being hunted, the people that really gather themselves to him are discontented, in debt, and in distress. But that's the way we come to Jesus Christ. You see, when we come to Christ, we come in the debt of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. That's the destiny of every soul born into this world. That's why every soul needs a Savior. But when they come to the Savior, you find that the Lord Jesus Christ will cancel your sin debt by paying the sin debt for you in full with His precious blood. And then you receive Him into your life. You allow Him to become the captain of your soul. Perhaps you are in distress of life today. Perhaps your home is on the rocks. The joy of living is now gone. And you come to Him and you can find that He truly is the Prince of Peace. But you'll only find that as you allow Him to be the captain of your faith. Perhaps you're discontented in your soul today. You're bitter. You're without joy. And although on the outside you seem to do all right, down deep, you're troubled, and you carry a load of guilt. And you want fellowship with God, and you want the salvation of your soul. And so you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Him as the captain of your soul, and you'll find that He does bring satisfaction to your life. We need, as Christians, to be men and women of purpose that reaches down to the deep recesses of the soul and allows Jesus Christ to reign as the captain of our life. Now, we not only see the pea picker was a man of purpose, we also see that he was a man of perseverance. And we see that in verses 11 and 12 of our text. Let's look there again. He says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Now, lentils, basically, is another word for peas. He was in a ground that was full of lentils. In other words, he was in a pea patch. This pea patch fed his community, his town. They depended upon it for sustenance. And so Shammah stood and he defended the pea patch that was the sustenance for his community. And he was willing to give his life for a pea patch. You know, I look over the years of history and I see how men and women have given their life for this precious Word of God. I've read in the last few months of women in their 30s handing out gospel literature and being beaten to death. Because they wanted to defend the pea patch. They wanted to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've also read in news reports in the past few months how some Palestinians will by night sneak over to the Jewish sector and go into their farms and destroy the vines or the olives of a farm. Well, they did that back in the day that we're looking at in the scriptures. Only then the army would come to do the dirty work. They would wait until it was a time of harvest, and then the troops would come, and they would plunder that field and rob it, and then destroy the remainder of it. Now, is it not interesting how that the governments today of the world actually pour millions into the Palestinian state? And they've done that over many years. Actually, billions of dollars. And yet, there's not much by way of infrastructure. And there's not much by way of farming to sustain. You see, the children of Esau and Ishmael still to this day carry out the same insanity their forefathers carried out, hoping to starve out the enemy. And even if they drive the enemy out, they still starve because they don't farm it themselves. Now notice that the other people in the pea patch that's there with Shammah, they fled. Just like the disciples that were in the garden with the Lord Jesus when the soldiers come, and they fled. Now imagine, here it is, the field is ready. They've worked that field over the entire season and now it's ready for harvest. And so they're down, they're getting those peas, they're putting them into their bags and they're all out there. The town's doing this. They're going to take food home. They're going to put things up. And they look. And as each is in his own little place working in that field, he looks and he sees a troop. And boy, he finishes picking things up. Boink, takes off running. He's out of there. This one's out of there. This one's out of there. And they see those troops coming. Each one is taking off. Finally, Shammah's thinking, man, look at all this stuff I'm getting. Boy, these people sure missed a lot that were in front of me. And he looks up. And there's a troop coming. Now, this is a troop, an army. They're armed. I don't know what kind of weapon that he had. He might have carried a little pocket knife or a machete or some kind. But it's not what you think. I mean, today, with all the modern weapons, maybe one man can fight a troop. But not in that day. But here they come. But he is of God's people. He is a man of God. And he knows that this is what God has given them. So he stands up, he takes his knife and says, "All right, come on. Come on. I'm ready for you all. Come on. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Nobody in the pea patch as bad as me." Okay? I mean, he's ready for them. It's in the Hebrew. He's ready for them. He wants them to come. And they come and he defeats an entire troop. He slays them. Now, how can he do that by himself? He can't by himself, but he can do all things through Christ. With God, nothing is impossible. You see, this pea patch is owned by God. Shammah realizes he is God's child. If the pea patch is destroyed, then the enemy starves them out. He thinks, "Well, wait a minute. This pea patch is worth fighting for. It's God's. It's God's. And I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm going to defend it. Without food, the people die and they become subjugated to the enemy." In like manner, if we don't fight today, the people starve tomorrow. We don't want to be subjugated to the fleshly religion and false doctrine of today. Listen, that troop represents sin. The lentils, the pea patch represents the food, the sustenance of the Word of God. You say, "Why won't you have contemporary, at least blended worship in your church?" Because I don't want anything in God's house that is an out-and-out abomination and sin before God. That's why we don't do it. Why would we sin like that in His house? So we don't do that. But I believe God is able to give us the power to stand and defend His house and His Word. And so we fight in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will get glory for the victory. Because, as we said, there's no way for Shammah to defeat an entire troop. He held the weapon in his hand. But God fought the battle. Because the battle is the Lord's. Those who ran, those who left the pea patch and took off, they too were the people of God. And they were shown grace. And they were allowed to eat of the pea patch. But there was no glory. And there was no position for them. Now all the saved get to heaven. But only those who protect the pea patch and have a vision for the future will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we see this pea picker is not only a man of purpose and perseverance. Next we see the prophet of the pea picker. He had a vision for the Lord's work, past and future, but he paid the price right now. Again, a lot of people had gone into the field to bring it to what it was. But if they were going to eat it and be sustained in the future, they must protect it now. Now listen. Central Baptist Church, going back to 1967, where you're sitting is not, there's no building. There's nothing here. There's a building over there. They're in the process of building. but through faithful preaching of the Word. As Dr. Bloom preached the Word and souls were saved and they established some standards. And they said, this is our standard and this is where we're going to stand and this is what we're going to preach. And souls got saved and were added to the church and God gave us a pea patch. Now, it's up to us not to allow the enemy to come in and take the pea patch. We need to stand and stand strongly for our Lord. Protect it from the worldliness and the false doctrine of this life. I want you to listen to this passage from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 13 through 19. Because that was in a time when Israel was near going into captivity, and Jeremiah is calling the people to repent and get back on the right way. Get out of their false ways of worship. They were still worshiping Jehovah, but not the way Jehovah wanted to be worshiped. And he calls, and he says, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet would be like the evangelist. And even unto the priest, that would be somewhat similar to the pastor. Everyone dealeth falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my daughter, of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. I believe that that's the condition of this society today. We no longer blush about sin. In the absence of shame, all conduct seems to be excusable in this society. It no longer blushes. And therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At a time when that I visit them, shall they be cast down, saith the Lord. And then he says in verse 16 of Jeremiah 6, thus saith the Lord. Now this isn't thus saith Jeremiah, thus saith David. This is straight from God. Thus saith the Lord. Stand ye in the ways and see. Take your stand and look out. And ask for the old paths wherein is the good ways. Wait a minute. Everybody in Israel likes the new way. But God says you better look out for the old ways. Get back to the fundamentals of God's Word. Get back to the way it ought to be. Look for the old paths wherein is the good way. And then he says, and walk there. In. You are to stand. You're to see the way. You're to go to the old path. And you are to walk in that old path. And then he says, and ye shall find rest, that is peace, for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. We know better. And then he says in verse 17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. You know, it's interesting, watchman in the Old Testament is often used of the preacher or the prophet to call sin, sin, to call wrong, wrong, and to warn the people. Today, when we do that, they call us funny mentalists. Unloving, legalistic. Therefore, hear ye nations and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I, who is I, God, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Don't reject the preaching of righteousness. Seek the old paths of God's word and walk therein. Defend the pea patch. There's no need to look at the troops of our enemy. Ours is to depend upon the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His weaponry is not carnal. It's mighty, and it does pull down strongholds. If the pea patch be destroyed and the enemy taken over, then he'll do it. Harvard, at one time, was a place to train people to take out the pure word of God, the gospel. We don't look at Harvard that way today. It's so liberal and denies everything about this precious word. Moody still does some good things, but now it attacks fundamentalism more than it does sin. Listen, my wife and I met at Tennessee Temple University. We remember Dr. Lee Robertson up there thundering against sin and preaching the gospel. Today they have rock music concerts there. You say, why are you naming them? Well, the Bible tells us to. But what I'm trying to say is that an enemy can get in and take over the pea patch that the godly have built and done the work and had it ready. The devil wants to cause casualties. He wants to take us out of the old paths of Bible teaching and preaching and standards of holiness and righteousness. And so often I'll see parents do this. They'll tell their children, okay, you can start going to this movie and you can start going to that and doing this and doing that. And they say, well, there's nothing for my children to do. And yet, being in the ministry long enough now, I've been able to see that second generation. They're not faithful to the fundamental churches anymore if they go. And those parents are going to see those grandchildren or great-grandchildren in hell. Because they wouldn't stand and defend the pea patch in their own home. And so as a result, their grandchildren are given over to carnality. And they lose the sustenance of God's clean food from the pea patch. Everybody's doing it. Is the cry of the pacifist who fails to stand for right and stand for the Word of God. You can't preach like that anymore. Well, my friend, let me tell you, God's Word is always right to preach. Always. Always. It is worth fighting for. Without the food of God's Word, people die and they become subjugated to the enemy. If we don't stand today, our children are scattered. And our grandchildren go to hell tomorrow. We've been shown grace. Let's not run. Most of these people that were with Shammah, that was on his side, they were there in the heat of the day when they planted, when they hoed, and when they cared for the garden. They made sure there were peas there and not tares. Oh, they were through the whole thing. They were willing to harvest the crop to do that work as well until it called for a battle. But because Shammah stood, they were able to revive the work of the pea patch. They were able to finish the work the Lord of the patch had given them to do. And if they finish the work, it sustains them. Because God had that patch for them. God blessed his little pea-picking heart. He became one of the three mighty because he stood. Let me ask you something. What will you become as a result of your stand in heaven? What will you become for what you've done on earth, the stand you've taken? What will you be in heaven this day in your Sunday school class? He's given a card that has seven things listed on it to do once a week. Things that should be a part of our life every day, but once a week. Okay? Think about it. I gave out one or more gospel tracts. You can do that just when you go to a restaurant. I phoned one or more persons to invite them to church or to witness. If you didn't witness, at least you invited them to church. I made a personal contact through visitation, door to door, at work, or someone I invited to my home. In other words, instead of just talking on the telephone, you actually went and saw them eyeball to eyeball, and you invited them to God's house, or you shared the plan of salvation with them. I shared the plan of salvation with someone through the mail or the email. You could give the CD to somebody, mailed somebody our salvation CD, the plan of salvation. You could mail that to them, or you could ask them to read a gospel tract through the mail. I attended at least one church service this week. Goodness gracious. That's hard, isn't it? One church service. Well, preacher, that sounds legalistic to me. When our heart is in the flesh, we will think that's legalistic. When our heart lacks love for God, we'll think that that is unloving. I shared a scriptural thought with another Christian, and I shared God's word with my family, and a single I prayed for the families of my church. Do you realize that we put devotionals in the bulletin every week? And you could find something at least within that that you could share with someone each week, each day, let alone once a week. And we have established to do these over the next few weeks in hopes that it becomes a regular part of your life for the rest of your life. Why? Because when you do these things, one day you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and you'll be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let it be a part of your life now. Shammah had a commitment. The others that were in the pea patch with him, they could logically excuse themselves for running as far as man is concerned. But not before the one who is our victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, "But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding." Abounding in what? In the work of the Lord. "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, nor will it ever be when you do God's will, God's way." My friend, the question comes, are you doing, are you abounding in the work of the Lord? It'll take perseverance. It'll take purpose. But in the purpose and perseverance, you stick to it. There's eternal profit. Whereas one time many strong churches and strong Christians had a great witness, today they're rocking and rolling and the standards are gone. The Bible preaching is abhorred and the righteousness of God is forsaken. And they're preaching a salvation that has no repentance. Let's stand on the true Word of God. Let's stand on the life-changing blood of Jesus Christ that still cleanses sinners. Let's do our part to revive the vision. Let's bow our heads, please. Now, dear Lord, we've tried to preach your word as it is to men as they are. We've tried to speak the truth in love. Lord, we realize that we're living in a day where the darkness seems to be coming in more strong. And Lord, we realize that it's up to us to be lights in this world. Lord, we have taken seven things that represent our pea patch here in this corner. Seven things to defend it. Seven things that are actually scriptural things to do, that are biblically right to do. And so, Father, I pray that your people would come to this altar and ask for your help today to fulfill those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's